Well, last week, if you guys were here, we talked about God is merciful. And the question was asked, are you merciful? Are you into that place of giving mercy to those who don't deserve it? And there are many. And we talked about forgiveness and what that looks like and how God has forgiven us of our sins and how we need to forgive others of theirs, even if if you don't like it, you still need to do it. And so we talked about humbling ourselves like a child, and we talked about children and how they are so freely, humbly to come and just humble themselves and grab you and give you a hug even after you've spanked them. And it takes a bit sometimes. Sometimes they're a little upset at you for spanking them, but we usually spank them for the right reasons, and usually it trains them up in the way they should go. God does the same thing. Does he discipline those as he loves? How many of you guys have been disciplined? Yeah, many of us have been disciplined, and thankfully so, because if we weren't disciplined like that, the Lord would not really care about us much, because he said he disciplines those that he loves. And so if he loves you, he's going to discipline you. And we do that as well to our children. But then humbly, we need to repent for the things that we've done and come in right standing before the Father. And then he says, what I've done for you, do for others. And so we talked about that last week. And today we're going to go into chapter 19. How many of you guys have read ahead? Chapter 19, you know where we're going. This is a great chapter. This is awesome. And so God's measure of greatness is what we're going to talk about today. How many of you know that God's measure is different than man's measure of what is great? When we look at great men or great people, have done great services and great things, we think of who are some of the things we think of. We think of Mother Teresa, for one thing, because she was great, right? We think of the presidents of the past that maybe did great things. Is there anybody in here can think of somebody great? How about Billy Graham? Think of Billy Graham. You know, he's awesome. How about President Obama? we'll see. We'll see how that works out. I throw that in for measure because it's just that kind of day. So God's measure of greatness, and we don't know, you know. God usually, it's amazing because he sent Jesus, his son, to come die on the cross for our sins. And the other side of that is that when he sent his son, he sent him as a king, but he came to do what? To serve. And then he tells us, if you want to be great in God's kingdom, you have to learn to be a servant to all. So we're going to look at God's measure of greatness versus man's measure. And man's measure looks totally different. We look at people that's been successful or has a lot of money or has done things for the community or whatever. We look at that as a great person. But God sees things just a little bit differently. So let's kick it off in chapter 19, verse 1. When Jesus had finished these words, and what words did he finish? Do you guys remember what he was talking about? About forgiveness. We talked about, about the forgiveness that God has given us. And so he's asked us to forgive others. So he finished talking about this. And so when Jesus had finished his words, he departed from Galilee and came into the region of Judea beyond the Jordan. A large crowd followed him and he healed them all. Did you know that that's Jesus' heart for all of us? Did you know that? That we would be healed, whether it's emotionally, spiritually, physically. There's all kinds of things that God, his heart is that we be healed, that we be whole, so that we can be like him. And so if there's anything that's keeping you from being whole, guess where you get your freedom from? Who he sets free is free indeed. So we have to humble ourselves and come to Jesus for the freedom that we need to walk holy. And so his whole thing is that he wants to heal us. He wants to touch us right where we are. Whatever it is, if we come to him like we looked at last week, as a child would come, let go of all of the things that we do as adults to hold us back because of pride or whatever it is, we need to come to him as a child and be healed and be whole. And so he healed them all. He healed them there. And some Pharisees came to Jesus, testing him and asking, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any reason at all? Now, that's an interesting question, isn't it? I mean, a lot of us have asked that question. Is it okay that people get divorces nowadays? I mean, there's different reasons for getting divorces, right? And so, and maybe some of you in this room have done that. Maybe that's happened to you. And maybe you've gone through that. And maybe it's been a very hurtful thing for you. But these guys are asking, is it lawful? And Jesus is going to explain it. And so they were actually doing this thing that I say is not a good idea. Don't be testing Jesus. In fact, the only time Jesus ever asked us to test him was what we did this morning. And what was it? Tithing. He says, you test me on this. Give to me a portion of what I've given you and watch and see if I don't pour a blessing on you. In Malachi. How many of you tested him and found out he's faithful? Yeah, every time. I mean, I can tell you story after story. But God is faithful. It's the only time he ever says to test him. And these guys are testing him in areas that didn't have anything to do with giving. And he answered and said, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? That's kind of an interesting statement in itself in the days that we live in. And said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So I can really go off on this passage of scripture where two become one flesh. It's so important that we understand this principle. In fact, Jeremiah and Kate are getting ready to be married. And when they are married, they've done this in a way that's pleasing unto the Lord. They will become one. They're no longer two. Right now, they're still two. They haven't said the vow to God that they would become one. Although, if you've been around them, they act like they're one. But, no. It's okay, you're engaged. I gave you permission. You can put your arm around her. So in that place that Jesus is saying where the two become one, that's why premarital sex or having sex outside of marriage, where everybody says, well, you got to know your partner well to, you know, before you marry him, you should know that, you know, who you're getting involved with. Well, listen, if you have other partners, just because you didn't get married to them, but you had a relationship with them, the Bible says that in a sexual relationship, sex in marriage or before marriage or outside of marriage, the two become one flesh. What does that mean? That means that who your partner was, you have just now became one with them. That therefore, they are part of you. And you can't just make that go away. Right? It is a spiritual thing. And God created us body, soul, spirit. Right? So in this area of soul connection or body connection, the mind, will, and emotions connect. It's the only time where two people become one flesh. Right? If they're connected. And when they connect, they become one. That, therefore, everything that that person has in them has just now connected with you. And so in that element of two becoming one flesh, and there's a story of this guy that was single, but he was having multiple relationships, and he went and got himself involved with a prostitute, and he ended up having these weird things happen, and he couldn't sleep. And every time he'd go to sleep, he felt all these snakes crawling on him. He'd wake up in these nightmares, right? And what he found out later was that the prostitute that he was with was a practicing witch. And he basically went through a whole lot of things to get delivered of this situation that he got himself in. Why does God tell us give us these rules to follow? Because it's bad for us? No, he wants to keep us from harm. He wants us to have a relationship with him that's pure and a relationship with your spouse that's pure. And so it's very important that we understand in this day and age that sex before marriage is not a good idea. But most people won't preach that, and they won't talk about the seriousness of it, and they won't tell others the implications of doing these things. You know, and we have such a huge rate of divorce now. Why? Because people didn't do it right. They didn't go through the plan that God had for them and do it correctly. And so these issues that you get yourself into by doing these things and going and having a partner outside of marriage is always going to be difficult. Now, I'm not saying it can't be fixed, because all things are possible with God. And that's where deliverance comes in. That's where your confession of faith comes in. That's where your relationship with God comes in. and your humbleness to before him to ask for forgiveness, because anybody who comes and asks for forgiveness, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. But certainly there's where you get freedom, right? And so if you've had a relationship with somebody else and it's still hanging on you, it's time for you to get free. It's time to go to the Lord with it and be separated. And then he's the only one that can do that, because you have chosen to become one with someone else. And so Jesus is making a very big statement here that a lot of people don't read, and they don't look at it for what it is. Because people go, well, I'm free to do whatever I want. Well, you are, but you have to pay the consequences for your freedom as well. So it's choice. Good choices, good consequences. Bad choices, bad consequences. Simple as that. So Jesus is saying in the Old Testament, it said that he made him male and female, and he said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they're no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate. Very important that when God joins two together, it's not about people now. It's not about what people think. It's not about what somebody else thinks. It's about what God said and what God thinks. So you're putting your life in his hands. And when you decide you're going to have a partner, you better go to the Lord and ask him, is this the right partner for me? And I prayed about my wife before we got together. I didn't know all the implications of what was going to happen, but I knew that I needed to go to the Lord about who I was to marry. I knew that, and that was something that was taught to me as a young child. And if you have learned that and departed from that and done things that you shouldn't have, and you're paying the consequences for those decisions, don't beat yourself up, right? Today is a day for change, right? You can go be set free. You can be set free from those things of the past. Hallelujah. We should be thankful for that. Verse 7, and they said to him, why then did Moses command to give her a certificate of divorce and send her away? Now that's where divorce started. And you know why it started? Because Moses got tired of listening to these guys bickering and fighting with each other. And they weren't joyful in their marriage. Now, the reason why they weren't joyful in their marriage is why? Well, they weren't putting God first in their life. And they weren't going to him. Usually what happens in a relationship is we are looking for each other to fix us or to help us or to do something for us. Look, you are supposed to do this for me. You're not meeting my needs. I got news for you. And this is this is for free. No one is going to meet your every need. Nobody. Except for God, the Holy Spirit, and your relationship with him. And yeah, it isn't all peaches and cream, because he's going to tell you stuff you really don't want to hear. He's going to tell you to do things that you probably don't want to do, because you're supposed to deny yourself and take up your cross daily and follow him. And nobody wants to deny yourself. That's no fun, right? So he's going to tell you to be disciplined. To be disciplined is to be a disciple. Disciple means disciplined one. And so he's going to ask you to discipline yourself and be submitted to your God. Submit to him in all things, and he will make your path straight. What's it say? What's the Bible say? What's that passage for you? It says, don't lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll make your path straight. So it's not about what the world's teaching, because the world is wrong. It's God that's right. And so so Moses made this thing, and he decided, well, you know, I'm tired of listening to you guys bickering and fighting in one another, so I'm going to give you a way out. And so he determined this thing about divorce. And Moses did it. God didn't do it. Right? Didn't he say that? They said to him, why then did Moses command to give her a certificate of divorce and send her away? God didn't say to do that. Moses did. And why? Because Moses was the leader and he was having to put up with all this behavior. I mean, really. There's a lot of stuff going on in people's relationships today that could be easily fixed by just simply denying yourself and not wanting someone else to try to fix your problem. And he said to them, because your hardness of heart, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning, it has not been this way. So why did he say Moses permitted it? Because of your hardness of heart. So what's going to cure issues? Soften your heart. Be submissive. Take a little bit of heat and love one another the way God intended. Verse 9, and I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for immorality and marries another woman commits adultery. And adultery was not to do. I mean, it was one of the Ten Commandments. Don't commit adultery. And so Jesus was pretty severe when he said this. He's saying, look, you guys, certainly you can go the way of the world, but it's not going to be profitable for you. And so if you're in a marriage that's not so good and you're having difficulties with one another, you know what my advice is? Go to the Lord. Go to him. Humble yourself before God and humble yourself before your partner and get honest with yourself, because your partner's not going to fix you. Has anybody ever figured that out yet? As much as Joey has tried to fix me, it hasn't worked yet. I still have my stuff. And she's usually, you know, pretty good about helping me get through my things. How about you guys? You guys got a good partner? It says if you find a good wife or husband, you found a good thing. So honor that partner with love and respect, and your life will go well. Sure, it's not going to be easy. Nobody said it was going to be easy. I just want to tell you guys, it's not going to be easy. You heard it here first. Yeah, you're welcome. I always tell the kids that I'm counseling, I try to talk them out of getting married. It's very hard to do that because they're so in love. I would never, ever hurt you. You know how they are. It's like, yeah, wait, give it a couple years, you'll be back in my office. No, I hope not. But the reality is difficult times will come. And what you do with those difficult times matters. It matters. Take them to the Lord. He's your perfect counselor, and he'll help you through it. And usually, if you've hardened your heart, it's already too late. If you've gone to that place of a hard heart and you have no compassion at all for your partner or what's going on, it's always their fault. They did it. You're in a bad shape, and it's hard to turn that one around. You know, until you come to a place of repentance and soften, you become softness. And it's not you that does this. What softens your heart is your relationship with your God, and he will help you get there because you're not going to be able to do it on your own. Where I leave off, I'm on 10, right? Verse 10 says, the disciple said to him, if the relationship of a man with his wife is like this, it is better not to marry. But he said to them, not all men can accept this statement. I can't. But only those to whom it has been given. So, and I'll go on and I'll come back to it. Verse 12. So basically God gives certain people giftings. For there are eunuchs who were born that way from their mother's womb. And there are eunuchs who were made eunuchs by men. And there are also eunuchs who made themselves eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. He who is able to accept this, let him accept it. So there are men who have set themselves aside for the work of God. They didn't get married and they did that. And that's a call. That is a gift to be able to do that. I am not. That's why I'm married. I love being married. I love my wife. And I know I'm not called to that. Right? But there are people that are, and they know it. They absolutely know it, that they're sold out to the Lord. And there are those in the past, we don't do this in our day and age, but there are those in the past that said, I have these feelings, but I don't want them because I want to give my life to something else. The king, if there was a kingship, they chose to become eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom. Right? And so they went through a surgery and made themselves focused. And all you guys know what that means. So the reality of this is God said, those who can accept this, let them do so. because I believe that he would want us so focused on what he has for us that we would be all in to him and to do his will and to follow after him. And so whatever that takes, I think it's good. And so Jesus said to these guys, mainly because they were having a hard time with all this anyway. They were trying to test Jesus in this statement. And Jesus was saying, what are you guys doing for the kingdom? You know, basically he was kind of throwing it back in their lap. and so he basically made it a statement, understanding of the importance of the two becoming one. And then he said, God still hates divorce. And he still does. You know why? Because he knows that in a relationship that you've become one with, it is hard business to get a divorce. I don't care who you are or what's going on. It's difficult because it just is. It's just hard for two to be separated, especially if God's put them together. I mean, it's almost like a death. It's such a ripping and tearing on your emotional life. And it takes God to fill that hurt, that spot. Then some children were brought to him so that he might lay hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. They're saying, quit bothering our Jesus. He's got better things to do. But Jesus said, let the children alone. I love his heart. I mean, how many of us kids are running around and they're just a bother? Right? And, you know, this is adult stuff. You don't need to go to your room. Jesus didn't do that. He said, let them alone and do not hinder them for coming to me, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. We need to hear these words. Listen, without our hearts to teach these kids and let them be part of the system of God's kingdom, they're going to run amok. They're going to do their own thing and they're going to find out the hard way, but it's our job to allow them to come in and to teach them in the way they should go. Love on them. Let them be part of the adult system of things because they will learn and they'll grow. And you can teach them to have manners. You can teach them to be part of an adult conversation without just being wild. Look, kids can be taught. Has anybody figured that out? All it takes is a little bit of effort. And most people put them in front of video games or something just to maintain them, get them out of here. We'll deal with it later, but let's do something. And they put them in front of a TV and they go on about their business, or they send them off to a daycare center so they can do something else. All I'm saying is, and all that's not bad, but there better be a balance. There better be some teaching going on. And Jesus says, you know, let them come. After laying his hands on them, he departed from there. And someone came to him and said, teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may obtain eternal life? Has anybody thought that question? What good thing, what should I do that's good that I would get God's attention? And he said to him, why are you asking me about what is good? There's only one who is good. But if you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments, which is what the Old Testament taught. You guys all know the Ten Commandments? Maybe some of them. I mean, I know three really good. Jesus breaks it down. He makes it simple for us, right? You can go and learn all the Ten Commandments, but Jesus brought it right into a place where we could understand it. Then he said to him, which ones? And Jesus said, you shall not commit murder, and you shall not commit adultery, and you shall not steal. Well, it's more than two. And you shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. He's going through all of these. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Then a young man said to him, all these things I've kept. What am I still lacking? So what if you kept all of the commandments and did everything perfectly in the commandment world? Is that what's going to get you into heaven? No. And Jesus said to him, if you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Okay, so he's asking him to do something that Jesus already knew he was going to have a hard time doing. Does anybody, have you ever done that? Has God ever asked you to do something that was hard? And did you do it? Maybe some of you still haven't done it, but you know God asked you to. I remember the day the Lord came to me and I was at work and he said, I want you to sell your business, sell your home you built, and follow me. I want you to get out of what you're doing, stop what you're doing, everything, and follow me. And go. And I did. I had to go do this, but it was a process. And I mean, I was broke before the Lord. I said, yeah, you're going to let me get all this stuff go, and then you're going to send me to Africa somewhere where I'm probably going to starve. And I had this vision in mind, you know. The question was, would you do it? And I pondered that question for a while. The Lord said, would you let go of your worldly kingdom, your worldly possessions, and follow me? Let go. And I did. It took a while. At first I was saying, what ifs? I was going through the what ifs. And God didn't answer any of those. He never answered me at all. He just left it at that statement. Would you? And it's a tough question. I mean, honestly, what if God came to you right now and said, everything you're doing right now, your job, your career, your life, I want you to stop that and just come follow me. Well, what does that look like? And you hear nothing until you start. And then he's a lamp unto your feet. And then he moves you in that direction. And so he basically was testing this guy. And he says, he's telling him to sell all your possessions and give it to the poor. Or he didn't say sell it. He said, sell your possessions and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come follow me. But when the young man heard this statement, he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. And Jesus said to his disciples, truly I say to you, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. So is riches holding people back? I got to tell you, I bet you so. I bet you it is. In fact, I've talked to lots of people that have lots of money. And usually it's all about money. It's all about just a little bit more. And if only I invest well here, I can make this. And it's never enough. So when the disciples heard this, they were very astonished and said, then who can be saved? And looking at them, Jesus said to them, with people, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. If you don't put your trust in God, guess what? In and of yourself, it's impossible to get saved. Right? It's God drawing you to himself. And it's our willingness to say yes. It's our willingness to follow him. And when he asks you to follow him, what does that mean to you? And only God and you know that. I mean, I can't tell you what that means to you, but you know what it means. For some of you, it's to lay something down in your life that God's been telling you to do for a while, but it's become a friend to you. It's gotten you through issues. Whatever that is, it's comforted you. But God wants to be your comforter. The Holy Spirit wants to be your comforter. It's not that thing that comforts you. He wants you to let that go. Then Peter said to him, behold, we have left everything and followed you. What then will there be for us? You know, old Peter, he's always got the question. Yeah, well, what are we going to get out of this? We left and followed you, God. It says 12, man, we're here. So what do we get? Truly I say to you that you who have followed me in the regeneration when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or farms for my name's sake, will receive many times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. And so I got to say this, God's measure of greatness. Isn't it interesting how he changes things around? And what's important to God is different than what's important to the world system. And he says, but many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. That's why I always give credit to those who are last in line for food, because I'm always first. You guys are great. You're going to be great in kingdom. That was horrible, wasn't it? I was the baby in the family. What can I say? All the babies are first. I mean, we got, hey, guys, get out of the way. I'm coming through. My dad used to pray with his hand on the bread. And I think his eyes were open. Not sure. We had a lot of boys in my family. There wasn't any leftovers, I got to tell you, especially with my brother. So where are you in this understanding of God asking you to follow him and God's measure of greatness in your life? Are you great in God's kingdom? If you want to be great in God's kingdom, what does he say? Serve. He says you have to be a servant to all. And what does all mean? All. How about those dirty old folks that live under the bridge? We were just talking about this morning in our deacons meeting. You know, what does that look like? And does God ask you to do things that are uncomfortable? We were just talking about that. Joey used to bring home homeless people. And there's this one gal that she was rough and she didn't smell very good. And she lived on the street. I can't remember her name. And she used to sniff glue. I mean, her brain was about gone. She really drugged herself pretty much to death. But Joey had compassion for those folks. And so she would bring them home. And I wasn't very happy with her. You know, I really wasn't. And we would take her to lunch out to a place. Joey would pick her up off the street and take her with us. And Chad was with us. And he didn't seem to mind then. You know, I was like, he's all right. Doesn't matter. And me, I was going, oh, man, Joey, why are you doing this? And we take her into public and we sit her at our table and we feed her and we pay for her food, right? And everybody's all looking at us, you know, and she didn't care. And I did. I just kind of was tested at that point. And I was going, Lord, why did you make me marry her? I prayed for her is why. I asked God for her. And it's because of the compassionate heart. That's great in God's kingdom. And is it difficult? Yeah. It's tough. And some of us shy away from these difficult things, like me. And God's asked us to stretch ourselves, to hang in there, and to do good for those that don't deserve it. And God sees all things and he sees your heart of compassion toward those who need it. And most of the time we step back and judge, well, if you'd have done your life different, you wouldn't be there. Or why should I help you? Well, God didn't ask us to run through that gamut. He just said, do what I tell you to do. And so if he asks you to do something, then by all means, do it. And so the greatness in God's kingdom is what he's called you and I to do, which is to let go of what we might think is the big deal and listen to the Lord. And I know some of you guys are chasing careers and you're chasing, you know, what's best for your family in the days to come. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's good. But there better be a balance. Because if it's so far over here that you forgot about this, then you might be like this rich young ruler when God does ask you to do something that's difficult. And Jesus said, listen, if you've left your father and your mother or your brothers and sisters or your family or farm to come follow me and do things for me, then your reward will be better than you might even imagine. And reward shouldn't be the reason why you do it. And so when we do missions trips, when we've gone on missions trips all over the world, I've done many, many trips overseas. It costs me something. First of all, it costs me to go there. It costs me time with my family. I leave my wife. I leave my family. And some of you guys know what that's like to leave your family and go on a mission for 14 days. Well, that was the longest one we ever went on, was 14. But we built a church for some third world country somewhere. And we did it with 30-some guys that chose to leave their farms and their work and their family, take their vacation time and their extra savings, and go build a place for a people in a different country that we don't even know, a sanctuary, so they can come and worship their king. And that's an amazing thing. And I'll tell you what, it's worth it every time. And so, guys, this is kind of a punch for Move. This year, they're going to Mexico. They're going down to Tijuana, and they're going to do an addition onto a building that they've already built. And Tijuana Mission is not really that big of a deal. I mean, it's not that far. It's in a poor area. I can tell you that. But listen, if you want to take a couple of weeks and see what God will do in your life, it's an amazing thing. You can leave your wife and your family for a couple of weeks, and it might cost you something. But I guarantee you, you'll gain a whole lot more than what it costs you. It's worth it. I've done it many times. And I don't regret not one. So if you want to go, it's actually going to be in February. I'll let you guys know how it goes. But actually, Robert and I are going to go. I've already decided, and Robert already said he wanted to go. Where's Robert? Oh, there you are. We're going to go down there and help him. So if you guys want to go, it's a 14 days off to build this building, and it's going to be a fun trip. That was just kind of a side note, but I want to leave it like this. If God's calling you to change some things in your life and follow him, and he's put his finger on them, and you know what they are, maybe you need to give up something that you want to give up, but it's kind of got a hook on you, and it's been part of your life for a while, some habit maybe that you've picked up along the way, that you've even asked many times before, Lord, I don't want this in my life anymore. Why do I keep going back to it? I got to tell you, the reason why you're going back to it is because it's a stronghold. It's got a hold on you. And you need deliverance. You need to let God come in and shake it from you. I remember when I was chewing tobacco. I've told this story before. I could not shake that stuff. I mean, I couldn't even think. Every time I would throw it out the window on the way to work, I would try to find it on the way back. You know, that's a stronghold. That's what that is that it has got a hold of you. You know, and I mean, there's many things the enemy does. You know, there's pornography. There's drugs and alcohol. There's food. I mean, some people absolutely get their comfort by eating, right? There's many, many things that we use to try to comfort ourselves. And God has asked you to let go of it. And he's been whining at you for a while. Not whining, because God don't whine. But he has humbly asked you, please, this would be good for you if you did this. And you are not doing it for some reason. Maybe because you just like it. But I know this, that the deepness of relationship with God, the closer you get to him, he will free you from this. He will take it from you. It's what he ended up having to do for me. He ended up having to, I come to a humble place, and he just removed that thing from me. And that's deliverance. That stronghold is broken by your humbleness to come to him and receive deliverance by your own mouth. You're asking him, Lord, deliver me of this stronghold. I have got myself into this. I know that, but I'm asking you, Lord, to please deliver me of this stronghold. And it's by your mouth that you get delivered. You consecrate yourself, the Bible says. You got yourself into it, and by your words, by your spoken words, you get yourself out of it. Maybe it's been a relationship that you had that went bad. Somehow things just went haywire, and you're not there anymore, but the things of that relationship are still there with you. And you got yourself there. You got yourself into it. But God's going to have to get you out. And so it's by your confession before the Lord to say, I know, Lord, I've gotten myself into this, but I ask God that you would remove it from me and help me to be free from the stronghold, right? Because we just went back and looked at what happens when the two become one flesh, right? Man don't separate that. And nothing you can do to get rid of it except for take it to the Lord and ask for the freedom and ask for his wisdom. And he will come and he will show you the way. And it doesn't happen overnight sometimes. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it takes some time. But I guarantee you, you trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he'll make your path straight. And it takes a little bit of time, but stay with it. Don't give up. Stay with it. Keep coming back to him and keep your heart soft, right? Because what did he say? You've hardened your hearts against these things and you're not allowing God to soften your heart. And so if you want to be free, it's a matter of you coming to the Lord and being honest with him, honest with yourself, and let him deliver you. And listen, greatness in the world's eyes and greatness in God's eyes is two different things. Because when you come to a place of humility before God and get your life free, to God, that's greatness. To him, that's greatness. To the world, they would look at it different. They would say, what are you doing? You're not going to get anything from that, going to church. God don't do nothing. It's not God that'll fix you. You need to fix yourself. Well, got news for you. You can't fix yourself. God will fix it, but you got to allow him to do it. So I want to leave it like this. You know, sometimes we allow people to come forward and pray, but in this instant, I think that this needs to be a time for you and the Lord, right? This needs to be your time to leave here and not let go of it. And so if the Lord's putting something on your heart right now, you should write it down or do something with it. Because if you don't, you'll leave here and you'll go on about your business and you'll forget what the Lord spoke to your heart. That's why we usually have people come forward to pray. But I understand that in this life that we live in, we get so sidetracked so easily with things like children. It's okay. We love them. I told you she was going to be a preacher. That things happen in our lives where we can receive something into our heart, right? And we know God's speaking, and then right away it gets taken out by circumstances, by situations, by thought process. We allow it to go away. But I guarantee you, today's your day to just get alone with the Lord and ask him to come in and work with you on this area. And so give him a chance. Amen? Cookies, coffee, fellowship. Have fun together today. Thanks for being in the house of the Lord. Don't forget, it's awesome to be praying for somebody else that may not even know you're praying for them. But you are, and it changes lives. Because I believe in the things in the spiritual realm. What's happening in the spiritual realm happens in the physical. It's just a matter of prayer. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so some of you know, and I didn't tell many, but Megan
was in the hospital
on Thursday. Yeah. So, this is the second time in a week. So, first one was a big deal, but the second one was even a bigger deal. She has a bachelor's skull fracture and a concussion. She flew backwards off the skateboard and hit directly onto the pavement, fracturing her skull. Dave's been talking a lot about healing and the power of prayer, and I just want to tell you guys that it is an amazing thing. First thing we did before we even took her to the ER was we laid hands on her.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen.
No fluid coming out of her 4 days later from her. She's so healing so quickly.
Hallelujah. You know, we've been getting a lot of testimony that we've been praying for different things that's been going on in the church, that things, difficult things that are happening, and we just take it to prayer right away. And what a testimony. We should have a testimony night. It'd be awesome. Recover. Yeah. Trust. Yeah. Yeah. That's good. Well, you know, God's a miracle working God. He always has been. He always will be. It's a matter of us locking on to Him and working with Him and Him touching us. Hallelujah. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank You for this great day that You've provided for us. This is a day that you've made. And Lord, we want to rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, we thank You for Your word. Lord, sometimes it's very convicting. And Lord, we ask God that we wouldn't just leave this alone, but we would remember that God, You're speaking to us in many ways. And Lord, I ask God that each one in this room would grab a hold of You with all that they are and allow You to work in their lives. And Lord, by Your Spirit, You deliver us. And Lord, I pray for deliverance of strongholds today. Some people in this room has already been delivered. They just don't know it yet. And Lord, I thank You for that. And Lord, I ask God that Your blessings would fall upon us.